Hi, everybody.
Go ahead, pull. There we go.
Wow, that was really cool. People saying hi back. It's been a little while since I've been here. It's been really neat to see, while I've been away because of COVID, I see guys like this up here who are continuing to serve, people in the back, continuing to do sound and video. You guys have done a great job. Sue, it's funny, I got COVID. Sue, for Children's Ministry, she gets it. I mean, we just got hit bad. I'm so thankful for them and for everybody who did everything. For those of you who don't know, my name's Kyle Corinne. I'm senior pastor here. And it was back on March 21st, I was ready to step up here to preach a Vision Sunday. It's our annual meeting. And I got a call at 8:30 saying, no, you're not. Go home. And Pastor Josh, had 30 minutes to come up here and to get ready with a message for Sunday, which is just cool. Love that. Josh is probably back and he's watching this. He says, yeah, that was cool. But Josh and Pastor Tim and Josh last week for Easter, I'm so thankful for all that they did while I was out. Got COVID on the 21st, or at least it was tested, and then it turned into pneumonia, and that was just rough. And I have to say that last Easter when I was sitting at home, it felt nice to, for the first time in a while, to stand up and to be able to sing some songs and actually breathe through them. So I'm still recovering a little bit, but it's really great to be here. And know, hey, out of this whole thing, at least I get a 3-month, not infectious. I'm not, I've got immunity. That's what I'm looking for. It's so funny that all this happened. And then just a couple days later, my daughter Faith got COVID. So now our house is on lockdown again. I think that what's going to happen is the Rona is going to get every one of my family one at a time. And we're going to be done in about August with the lockdowns. So I have to say, if there's one thing that's true about this whole thing, it's very disruptive, isn't it? It's very disruptive. I just want to say I'm glad to be here. Those of you who are watching online, I'm so glad that you guys are here, that you're a part of this. In just a little bit, I'm going to introduce to you a group that has been doing a ministry alongside of us as a church, Campus Bible Fellowship. We've been a partner with them for, I think it was 23 years, but this couple here, Dave and Elizabeth Maynard, they've been doing it for 30 years, which is older than a lot of the students that are, well, all of the students that are going to be here, right? Because you guys are like in your 20s. So, Dave, you're getting up there, man. Just like me, we're all getting up there now. Listen, if you don't know what we're here about, we just want to inspire you to follow Jesus. That's what we're here for. And we sang the song. The song says it perfectly. The world needs Jesus. We want to inspire you to follow Jesus because it's all about people and it's all about eternity. And we dare not forget that is why we're here. We're not here for us. We're not here for what can be given to us. People can give to us or God can do for us. We're here with a purpose of how we can reach other people, how we can make more and better disciples of Jesus Christ. So if you would like to support that, reaching out to other people there, you can give in the back if you love to support this ministry here at Grace Point. I'm sure that if you talk to Dave afterward, you'll get to support to them. They would love to have you partner with them as well. But I would like to pray for them as they're going to come up. We got 4 students coming up, and Dave's going to come up as well. And then we'll just continue on with our focus today. But would you pray with me as we continue forward? Father, I'm thankful to be here. I'm so thankful for everyone else who's here, who's also online. And for those who support the ministry in whichever way they do, which they do many times financially, but also through being a part of things and just pouring into relationships with one another, I'm thankful for that. And Lord, today as we have a ministry focus that is looking at the campus nearby, 1 mile away, And the students there, thousands of students who need to know who Jesus is. I just I pray that you would use us, that you would use Campus Bible Fellowship. I think of the other ministries on campus as well, that you would use them, that we would come together as the church and we would reach people for Christ. And that we would just, we would love you well. And we would be ready to encourage those who live in a discouraged world right now. So thank you for your kindness to us through Christ, through His cross, through His resurrection, that we may have life and a real hope that never disappoints. So Lord, we ask that you would speak to us through these students and through Dave today, through your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Abby Wagner, you're our first guest on The Price is Right. No, here's your first guest. Some of you know Abby. Here you go, Abby. Take it before I say something.
Okay, sounds good. All right, so he already introduced me, but I am our CBF president at Binghamton University this year. So CBF is a student-run club, and we have weekly meetings and small groups, as well as some other like social events that we put on for our members. We did Bible trivia last night. And when this year started out, I realized that things were going to have to look pretty different because of COVID rules that we're following now. We used to do a lot of outreach, pizza nights, candy giveaways, tabling, things like that. None of those are really possible anymore. So I kind of had to reevaluate our goals. I spent a lot of time praying and talking with our leaders, and I felt like the best thing that we could be doing was encouraging our members and praying for our campus. So at the beginning of last semester, I spent a lot of time praying for our campus and praying that God would give the students there a heart to seek Him out and search for Him. We had 12 voting members at that time, and we have 19 now. And all of our new members found us. So I'm so thankful that God really heard those prayers and answered them and brought people to Him. To talk a little bit about statistics, in the fall of 2019, when we were all in person, everything was kind of normal. We averaged 25 students at our weekly meetings. We do all of our weekly meetings on Zoom now, and we averaged 21. So I think that's pretty good considering the circumstances. We all know that our political climate is a little bit strained in the U.S. right now, and unfortunately our campus has felt that too. Over the summer, there was an Instagram account that anonymously published stories of victims of sexual assault, and there are now almost 900 posts on that account. So I felt as student leaders and as a Christian group, it was important for us to speak about these things and pray about them. So we took 2 weeks last semester to talk about racism and sexual assault and pray for victims and abusers. I'm so proud of our student leaders and our members for being able to have these hard conversations. I really think the thing that sets CBF apart is that we all genuinely care about each other and our members in the group, and we're all friends. Being a student leader has really challenged me to just be honest with my fellow leaders. Just last week, I had a bad mental health day, and I just told them what was going on, and they took care of the meeting for me and prayed for me and just checked in on me to make sure I was doing okay. And they always have my back. I can always ask any of them for prayer, and I'm so thankful that I have them to support me like that. I've also learned just how many people it takes to run a group like this. We all work really hard at forming connections with our members and just praying for each other and even just making sure everything can happen that needs to happen for our week. So I want to thank you guys for supporting us in the Mainers and making that able to happen. So Alan is going to come up and talk a little bit more about our small groups this semester.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for having us again. As Abby said, my name is Alan. I'm a senior studying math, so hopefully this will be my last semester by the grace of God. So I'm a small group Bible study teacher for CBF. We have three or four groups, depending on the week, where we go through verse by verse a particular book in the Bible. So last semester we went through Amos, and this semester we're talking about 1 Peter.
To start my little spiel, I wanted to read an excerpt from the book of Ephesians, so I'd like to invite you all to turn with me or just to listen. I will be reading from verse 14 to the end of the chapter. I wanted to read this because I thought this passage kind of summarizes the purpose and goal of our small group ministry at CBF, and I thought it would speak better than I could about it. So, all right, verse 14, Paul writes, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through the Holy Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God." So, I think what Paul writes here really is the goal of our Bible studies, is that we as believers in CBF would come to know and understand Christ better, right? So he writes here that we might be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of God which surpasses knowledge. So that's a bit of our goal. To give an update of where we're at with 1 Peter, a lot of the themes are regarding like how to live during trials, right? So pandemic, studies, people will go through hard times, persecution. And essentially what we are reminded of here and what we've been trying to remind our students is that our hope is ultimately an eternal hope, not based in our circumstance, but one that is based in us knowing God relationally. I wanted to read another excerpt, but this is from a hymn from my tradition that we sing back at my home church. It is called "Christ, Our Hope in Life and Death." And what I want, at least for my group, is for us, for my members, to be able to say these lyrics and know it for themselves to be real, rather than just knowing the right facts about God, but to know God himself as a person. The hymn goes, "What is our hope in Christ, in life and death? Christ alone, Christ alone. What is our only confidence? That our souls to him belong. Who holds our days within his hand? What comes apart from his command? And what will keep us to the end? The love of Christ in which we stand. What truth can calm the troubled soul? God is good, God is good. Where is his grace and goodness known? In our great Redeemer's blood. Who holds our faith when fears arise? Who stands above the stormy trial? Who sends the waves that bring us nigh unto the shore, the rock of Christ?" So that's a bit about our small group ministry. I think I'm going to pass the mic off to my brother Ugogo here, who's going to share more of his experiences in general about CBF. And thank you again for having us.
Thank you, Alan. So yeah, as Alan kind of mentioned, I also help out with small groups on campus, but I actually am not a Binghamton University student, or at least not anymore. I actually have just graduated after 6 years at Binghamton, so that's kind of neat. Thank you. It wasn't easy, believe me. A little bit about myself. I actually studied mathematics in my undergraduate career, and in my graduate career, I studied education. So that's something about me. So I was with CBF. I got plugged in almost immediately from orientation. When I started, I met Dave and Elizabeth Maynard, and I just kind of got in right away. And so it's really, CBF has been really very formative for me, especially as a Christian and as a college student, just the impact of CBF on campus, at least in my own life. But I just want to kind of talk about a little bit more concerning how CBF has changed since 2015. There's definitely been, like in Abby was telling us about statistics, there's definitely been growth and contractions and things like that. And it's been really interesting seeing how God would provide, right? Like there are certainly years where we didn't know where our next e-board was going to come from because we had a lot of our older people had graduated already or moved on to other things. So we're just kind of trusting in God for Him to supply the need there. And that's kind of a theme there with my experience with CBF, God kind of supplying our needs. So that being said, I want to just talk a little bit about what I've experienced on campus. If you don't know already, Binghamton University is a very large Jewish population. About a third of the students there would profess Judaism or have Jewish heritage. And there's really a large harvest for people there. Like, God is still working. God is still moving on campus. He's given me, personally, a love for the Jewish people. And He's given me a lot of opportunities to reach out to and speak with the Jewish people. So that's kind of really cool. There have been other events that we've done. CBF has done a recurring event over several years called Thank God for Israel, where we kind of stand on what God has to say about Israel, right? I think of the song that we were just singing earlier, where it was saying Jesus Messiah, right? He's the God of Israel. He's the King of Israel, right? So it's really cool to be able to minister to God's people that way. Let's see. I've also... I just finished, like I said, my graduate work, so it's kind of cool to see how being a CBF grad student was. Just everyone's very hectic in their schedules. A thing I like to kind of say is that we work all the time, we eat sometimes, and we sleep maybe. You know, it's just kind of the schedule as it is. But anyway, kind of going back to what Alan was mentioning earlier, I do help out with CBF small groups. So I think I was told last time there are three small groups that we are now running to help the students on campus and off campus. And that's really cool because when I started as a freshman, there weren't any small groups. It was just a memory. This was something that had been done in the past. And now it's cool to see we have three active groups of people just kind of teaching God's word. And it's really kind of cool to see, you know, young people kind of realize something that they hadn't thought about the Bible before. Like just at my study 2 weeks ago, there was a girl who said, "Huh, I never thought about that before." You know, and this is kind of why we're doing it, right? We're trying to teach people how to live according to God's words. So I'm just kind of watching the time here. I do want to kind of wrap up really quickly. But for me, CBF has been the place where I found most of my friends. You know, just the kind of the familial aspect was there from the beginning. You know, so CBF has been really important to me, so I encourage you guys, I encourage you to continue praying for CBF, continue praying for college ministries, because it's really having an impact on the lives of people. I think I've met a lot of lifelong friends, or at least people I hope to be lifelong friends, from CBF. So that's just kind of something I wanted to share with you guys today. So that being said, I want to welcome Audrey as she comes to share what God has prepared for her. So thank you for listening.
Good morning, church. As you Google mentioned, my name is Audrey, and I've been given the privilege of serving on CBF's leadership team this past academic year. And quickly, I wanted to talk about my experience, not just on the leadership team, but in CBF these past 2 years. Something I've noticed about CBF is that they're really for one another. We really emphasize serving one another. And the Bible is full of verses that talk about like fellowship, community, and unity. So it was really encouraging to come to a campus when you don't know anyone. I'm not from the area here, so I was coming alone, didn't know anyone, and to find CBF and to find that fellowship was great. And I wanted to talk about some of the ways that our members are really for one another. And one of them is encouraging and comforting one another. And Dave and Elizabeth, they're just fantastic. They always tell us that they're here for us. They always let us know that if we need to talk or if we need anything, that they're there. Dave, he makes himself available once a week for a few hours in the office we have on campus for anyone on campus who wants to go and talk to him. And for comforting one another, this past year has been kind of hard for everyone, of course. And I've lost count how many times I've cried, not because I was sad, though, but because I've cried laughing from joking around with the members and just having a good time with them. So we're really there for each other when things aren't good and when they're good, too, to make them better. Another one that we do is live in harmony with one another. That's kind of been hard. We haven't been seeing much harmony in our times lately. But I'm really proud to say that our members take this verse very seriously. We live in harmony not just with members in our group, not just with believers on our campus, but we live in harmony with people who don't agree with us, which can be difficult sometimes. But I've really seen them do this with excellence, the members of CBF. And finally, one thing we do is that we pray for one another. Every week, at the end of our meetings, we take prayer requests and we take time to pray for one another. And this is something that's been so essential and so key, not just for members, but for the church, to pray through this time and to pray for one another. So I want to end it here today asking you to remember us in your prayers. We thank you for your support. We thank you for the prayers that you've had. We are praying for you as well. And just remember us in our prayers. Remember the leadership team. Remember Dave and Elizabeth. And know that while you're praying for us, we're also praying for you. And now I'm going to invite our chaplain, Dave, to speak.
Okay, hopefully it works better this time, getting the mask off. It's working. I had a hard time in the first service. Yay. Good afternoon. Well, I woke some of you up anyways. need a cup of coffee, right? Amen. Hey, we really are grateful to be here this morning. Thank you for this opportunity to come and share with you what God is doing just across the street. He is alive and well and changing students' lives, and we are very grateful for that. And I should have shared this in the earlier service, and welcome to those of you who are watching online. But, guys, the church is in good hands. Amen? Here are some sharp, young, Christian, future church leaders. And it's been a privilege to work with them. And I should have shared that earlier. But it's just been a delight to watch them grow and mature. And the church is in good hands. I know sometimes we look out there. It's kind of like the music leader was saying. We get kind of discouraged, right? But God's still working. He said, I have come to build my church. Is he done yet? Nope, because we're still here. Rapture hasn't happened. We haven't graduated yet. But I just praise God for how he's been working in our students, and there is just tremendous hope. And we want to thank you guys for the 23 years of standing with us and working with us, praying with us, and Kathy and company. Because I know it's not a one-woman job down there, but the Thanksgiving dinner, I believe we've been doing it roughly 25 years with you guys. And it's just been tremendous. And we have students that really, really look forward to it. I know the baseball team does. Yeah, and I've learned that when we get ready to release the baseball team to get their food, I have to warn the kitchen crew. Because they have to go and restock the table. Because when those guys are done, there's nothing left, man. So hopefully I can regain some contact there. That's been a hard thing with this COVID, is it's been really hard to maintain those contacts. Because the turnover is so high and whatnot. And pray for the sports teams this year, guys. I know some of you have a genuine interest in them. And it's been a real challenge. I know the baseball guys haven't been doing as well this season because they just didn't get the practice. They just haven't been out there because of COVID and stuff like that. But I don't know if you've realized, just they're getting a whole new, big, beautiful facility. They're going to get indoor training stuff, so that should really help. I know some of the kids on campus don't get that, but there was a gentleman that donated a very large sum of money to make that happen, and it had to go for that purpose. And I know some of the students didn't get that, but in either case, just pray for them. Pray that I make some new contacts in there, because I haven't been it's 2 years now. I haven't been at any of the games. So they don't know. I'm not going to do my cheer, but they don't know my cheer. I have this really loud, go be you. And all the guys would know that, but I haven't been there to do it. So pray that we're able to get reestablished with that. But again, thank you for your prayers and for your faithful support all these years. Last week, we had the privilege of having a workshop with one of our past alumni, Andrew Bertadotti, and he was with us in the early 2000s. After he graduated from Binghamton, I discipled him. I did a lot of one-on-one discipleship. And that's some of the other things that the students didn't mention, but Elizabeth and I meet with students on a one-on-one basis. I have about four guys that I'm meeting with these days. Elizabeth has one or two gals that she's meeting with. But I met with Andrew regularly when he was here, and I just sensed God's hand on his life, and I encouraged him to look into going to seminary, and he did. He went to seminary, and he got involved with Project Jerusalem. He's from the Long Island area, so he went back to Long Island to minister there. He is now back in seminary. He's getting a second degree with that. But he has a real burden for making disciples, which is what we're all called to do, is make disciples. And he's very much engaged in doing that with the younger generation, and he's done a lot of study in that area. And so we had him come and do a workshop with us, Understanding and Reaching Gen Z. So millennials, believe it or not, we're done with millennials. Not in the sense that we're done with them, but they have since moved on, right? We have graduated the last of the millennial generation at Binghamton University. We are now into Gen Z, which is a very, very different generation. One of our coworkers said that she noted a big change in 2018. She went from being able to get out fairly large numbers and interactive and students to almost nothing in 1 year. And that's essentially when Gen Z came in. So there's just a huge transition. They're a very different group. They have never been without a cell phone. They pretty much came out of the womb with one. Hopefully not. But in either case, I mean, they don't know life without it. They don't know life without social media. They don't know. They don't even really. You know, 2001, you know, September 11th, that's just something they're taught that didn't directly impact them at all. That's just something they've heard about. They never saw the Twin Towers. So, you know, they're very, very different generation. And so what I wanted to do this morning is just share with you guys a little bit about what he shared with us to give you an idea of what's coming and what we, right, we're on the front lines over at the university, what we're dealing with and some of the changes that we're going to have to make in our mentality and our approach to reaching Gen Z. But they are increasingly unchurched. They're very isolated and lonely. And social media is a big reason for that. You would think, you know, they have all these friends, but they don't have all these friends. They crave relational authority, and believe it or not, they are very spiritually open. I'll talk about this a little bit more, but our approach with them needs to be very different. They're very, very skeptical of the church and of Christianity in particular, very skeptical. But the one individual that they still have a high regard for is Jesus. So, in reaching Gen Z, the place to go is the Gospels. It's introducing them to Jesus and who he really is, right? So, they still have a high regard for him. So, our approach to the younger generation really needs to be gospel-centered and introducing them to the real Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, and helping them to see him there. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute with apologetics and stuff. But here are some stats, those of you guys who like stats. And I would have done some slides, but I had no idea. I needed to be an accordion with my time because you never know how long students will share. And so I needed to be a little bit more flexible. So bear with me as I just kind of read these for you. But 40% are religiously unaffiliated. So almost half that generation, they wouldn't consider themselves Christian or anything. They're just unaffiliated. 60% of the religiously unaffiliated consider themselves spiritual, though. So even though they're not affiliated, more than half of them are spiritual in some nature or another. 19% indicate they attend religious gatherings at least once a month. So they're likely to come through your door once a month. That may be all you see of them. 60% say they feel very isolated. 70% have three or fewer meaningful interactions per day. In other words, the vast majority of their interactions is, hey, how you doing? And that's about it. There's no real, right, interaction, no real exchanging of who you are or anything like that, no meaningful interactions. 40% say they have no one to talk to, no one who knows them well. Half of that generation, and that would include their parents, guys. No one knows them. They don't, no connections, no one to really talk to share what, you know, what they're feeling, how they're going through things. And think of that in this current situation with COVID. Right? It's hard enough for us, right, to connect. Think of what it's like for them at this point. 20% of those who lack meaningful interaction feel that their life has no meaning, no significance. And I don't want to get into worldview things here, but their worldview, right? A naturalistic worldview, there is no meaning. I mean, but 20% of them feel that way. But check this out. A single meaningful action per day lowers that to 4%. Right? So one meaningful interaction per day lowers that sense of being without meaning to 4%. In other words, pick up the phone and call someone. Do a cup of coffee. Something we gotta find a way beyond masks, but connect. Connect. During the pandemic, and this is this is just mind-boggling to me, but during the pandemic, 25% of young adults seriously contemplated suicide. 25% of young adults, seriously. And I'll say this, if there are any here this morning that have struggled with that, please, please reach out to someone. Those of you listening online, if that's where you're at, please call Pastor Kyle, reach out to this church. They would love to help you work through those things. You're not alone. You're really not alone. And I probably should have said that earlier this morning too. But, you know, if that's where you're at, please, please reach out. Other things about this generation, mentorship gives life meaning and purpose. In other words, they're looking for mentors. They're looking for men and women to step into their lives and mentor them, disciple them, if you want to put it in Christian terms. They're looking for that. Young people crave relational authority. In other words, that isolation that they're feeling, that lack of relationship, that lack of meaningful interaction, they crave that. They hunger for that. Right? Opportunity, guys. Do you hear that word here? Opportunity. It's just a matter of us doing what? Stepping out of our own comfort zone, seeking to reach a generation that many of us are very confused by. There's things about them that are confusing. But the big thing here, guys, is they crave that relationship, right? 79% are more likely to listen to adults if they know they care about them. And do you know how you share? Do you know how you communicate you care about them? Give them the one thing you can't ever get back. Time. Right? You can make more money. You can't make more time. They want your time. They want your attention. Care about them. Reach out to them. Right? Invest in them. 87% trust adults who take time to foster those relationships. So that trust factor just skyrockets simply by you taking a little time. 74% say faith was at least somewhat important during the pandemic, right? So of that Gen Z, 74% say that faith was somewhat important, which is higher than all generations, which is only 62%. Millennial, non-Christians, also Gen Z, are twice as likely to express personal interest in Christianity, 36%, than older non-Christians. So the millennials and Gen Z are 36% more likely to at least express interest in it. Because they don't know it, guys. They don't know it. So what are some of the things they value? And this is where it connects with us as a church. This is where it connects with us as CBF. Because it's through their values, right, that we're going to attract them and connect with them. They're looking for accountability. They're looking for inclusiveness, right? They want all people to feel included, inclusive. They're looking for authenticity. Don't just say you follow Jesus. Follow Jesus, right? You kind of heard it from these students already. Of their own initiative, what did they say? We want to what? Know him personally. We want to be authentic Christians. Welcoming. They're looking for a place that is welcoming, that doesn't judge, just welcomes them, accepts them, welcomes them. They're looking for to be impactful. They want to make a difference. This is a generation that wants to make a difference in the world. Our students want to make a difference on campus. It's hard right now with COVID. We're finding ways, but they want to make a difference. They want to change the world for the good. They want to make a difference. They're looking for relationship. In other words, if a Gen Z person comes into your congregation, they want to connect. They're looking for relationship, right? You guys are having a ladies' tea soon. Do you see that word opportunity? How many of you are going to reach out to a Gen Z young lady and invite them to the tea? Now, they may not come, but by you showing that you care enough to ask, right? Relationship. They're looking to grow. They're looking for growth, personal growth. And they're looking for meaning. They want to make meaning. They're looking for meaning in life. And one of the other things that Andrew shared with us is that it's not going to be about programs going forward. It's not. It's about relationship. It's about one-on-one. It's relationship oriented from this point forward. You can have the best programs. I was sharing Don Francisco, anyone? Steeple song. Do you remember the steeple song, Kathy? Right? I don't care how your steep your steeple is. I don't care if your pews are padded. You can have all the stuff. Doesn't matter. I want to know, are you doing the things he said? This is a generation they'll resonate with a steeple song. They're very much about, I'm going to have to play that for you guys some Zoom meeting. I'll find it and we'll play it. But it's not about the programs. It's about the relationship. And, it means that we're all going to have to change. If we're going to reach that generation, we're going to have to change how we're approaching them. Because our generation, we were motivated by programs. Hey, what do you got going on for my kids? Hey, what do you got? Right? Not so much now. They're looking for those connections and about relationships. They're looking really for discipleship. They're looking for that one-on-one, help me to grow in Christ. They're looking for that kind of a thing. The other interesting thing that Andrew shared with us is that apologetics needs to change. Our generation, my generation, it was, is Christianity true? That's not the concern now. Their concern is, if Christianity is true, is it good? Could it possibly be good? So it's a moral apologetic now. Is Christianity good? Because that's not, let's be honest, has the church through history done some bad things? Yep. And they see that. They're very skeptical of the church. Not of Jesus, but of the church. And so our apologetics needs to change. We need to show that we have the basis for morality, right? Without an objective moral giver, there are no morals. There's no good. And we have to, so our approach has to be very different. We don't, you know, you get to whether or not Christianity is true, but we need to be approaching it differently. We need to show that Christianity really is good. And, you know, if it is true, it really is good. It does make a positive difference in humanity, in culture, in society. Because they're not seeing that, and so we need to approach that very differently. So with some of those things in mind, I want you to turn to Matthew 9. And I was blessed. In between services, I ran into this tremendous Bible scholar, and he gave me some insights into this passage that I didn't know. So I'm going to share those that I didn't share earlier. But in Matthew 9, 35 through 38, it's a familiar text. A lot of missionaries will preach this, but hopefully I'll take just a slightly different angle on it and hopefully help you guys see my heart with this, because this is what drives me. But Matthew 9:35 through 38. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Now, typically, a missionary is going to go, "We need help. Pray that God would send more laborers." And guys, guess what? Please pray that God would send more laborers. We desperately need them. Elizabeth and I need help. We're going to need... Guogo, why are you laughing? Not that kind of help. Maybe I do. But at any rate, we do need help over there. There are 16,000, 18,000 students on that campus. I can't possibly reach all of them. Not all of them are going to relate to me. It's amazing that any relate to me. Right? So the more people you have involved, you have different personalities involved, students that can connect with. And like I said, it's relational, right? So we desperately, if you're looking to get involved, please talk to us. We can use the help. But what's cool, and now I didn't do this earlier, but I work with university students, and they like to talk back to me in more ways than one. Okay, these guys got it. So here's a question for you. Why is there a need for laborers? I'm sorry? The harvest is plentiful. There is a huge harvest. Am I pointing in the right direction? I think I am. That way. Okay, thank you. Whatever way. It's out there. Okay, it's that way. Kathy says that way. I'll follow Kathy's. Okay, thank you. I get you. See, I'm easily confused. That's why I need help. But like I said, there's 16,000 students over there. They need the gospel. And there's no way I can... Where was I? I got lost in all this. All right, so, yeah, the harvest is plentiful. And there's no way I can reach all of them, right? But I do know this. Every day I go on campus, right? My prayer is, God, lead me to your harvest today. Because I know there's a harvest on that campus. Especially when I was able to table. I'm not able to table currently. Not so much. But when we would table, it was neat to see God just bring up all kinds of interesting people. When, I didn't share stories earlier. I have a little extra time here, so I'll share a story. I had one student, this is just before we went into lockdown stuff. He came up to me and he goes, "So, what do you think about abortion?" I mean, it's just like, well, here are my thoughts on it. And I just very graciously shared what I thought about it. And he was like, "Well, I don't think that at all." I was like, "Okay, that's cool." And what he was doing is he was testing me. Because he has found, he's an American, but he grew up in Germany. And what he has found is that he cannot talk to anyone here in this country without having them get angry and upset if they don't agree with him. Or if he doesn't agree with them. And so he was testing to see where I was at with that. And he and I had a great conversation because, you know what? I don't care what you believe. I mean, that's fine. You know, we'll work through this. I can have an intelligent conversation without getting angry and upset because we're not on the same page. And he found that conversation very refreshing because he found somebody that he could talk with. Now, unfortunately, lockdown happened after that, and he didn't really share his information with me. Unfortunately, but it was just all kinds of opportunities with that. But there's a harvest. I know there's a harvest because we're still here, right? The harvest isn't done. My prayer is this. I want to be that person that leads the last person to Christ. You know what I'm saying? Could you imagine praying? Would you like to trust Jesus? Yes. We're out of here. Whoa! Because that day's coming. There will be one last person before the rapture. I hold to the rapture. There's going to be one last person. But I want you to note, too, now keep in mind what we just went through about Gen Z and all of where they're at. Note, how did Jesus describe the people? And I'm going to share, what does your translation say? And then I'll share what the Bible scholar shared with me, which is really cool. Just read a couple of the words. What does it say? How does he describe them? Helpless. Harassed. Sheep without a shepherd. The Bible scholar, Pastor Corinne, shared with me another way that this could be understood is pinned down and molested. That's Gen Z, guys. They are pinned down by an oppressive worldview, and they are molested by it. They are abused. They are beat up. And they are truly sheep without a shepherd. Think of all the opinions out there. When you get into all the social media stuff, we don't have time to do that, but they don't know what to believe anymore. Fake news. Fake everything. They don't know what to believe anymore. They are pinned down. They are molested. They are sheep without a shepherd. But note, what was Jesus' response to them? That's how he saw them. But what was his response to them? Compassion. Guys, I realize Gen Z is an interesting generation. They're going to be a challenge for the church. But they need to be loved. They need compassion. They need us to step into their lives, give them the relationships that they crave, that they need, introduce them to the true shepherd. Amen? Now, that may seem daunting, and I'll end with a few thoughts here. If we were to turn to Exodus chapter 4, There's an interesting dialogue there between Moses and God. And I would have loved to be Moses, to have that. We're going there, right? We're going to end up there. But just incredible. God and Moses, direct conversation. Wow. But no, you know, Moses is all freaked out about going back to the Jewish people and leading them out of Egypt and all that. God asked Moses an interesting question. He says, what's that in your hand? And Moses had his staff, which was his work tool. Right? It's what he knew best at this point. My question to you guys then is, what do you have in your hand? What hobbies do you have? What interests do you have that God could use, right, to help you reach others? What do you have in your hand? I'll share a fun example. Ugwogo mentioned that we have 30% of our campus is Jewish. For a while there, I was a beekeeper. As of this year, I'm no longer a beekeeper. It's for a lot of reasons. Beekeeping was interesting, but it got to be a little much. And I had a neighbor that didn't like bees. So kind of that's that, especially when it's kind of a closed thing. So, but I was a beekeeper, and I would use my honey as a means to reach out to individuals. And the Jewish community uses a lot of honey in the fall. So I made an offer to the rabbis that I would give them free honey for their fall festivals. And the one rabbi, probably the most cynical, was just like, no. And then finally he comes to me and says, yeah, I might be interested in sampling, because what was my word? Free. It was free. So he says, I'll sample a little bit, because he did a little research. Because the big issue for them is it kosher? Well, honey's kosher. It's just kosher. But so he sampled a little bit. And then the next week he came to me and said, you know, my kids are kind of interested in how you go about harvesting honey. Was it really his kids? What did he want to see? Am I kosher? How am I doing this? Can I trust this process? Because I'm a goyim or Gentile, right? So check this out, guys. We had two rabbis, a bunch of Jewish kids, and one of the rabbis' wife, his words, she was in the bottom of the ninth with her pregnancy. His words. In my backyard, watching me harvest honey. Then in my house, helping me extract honey. Think about that. All because of what? What I had in my hand. What I had in my hand. What do you have in your hand that you can use to connect with Gen Z, to establish a mentoring relationship, any kind of relationship? You want to reach the next generation? What do you have in your hand? How can you connect? They desperately want to connect. They don't know how, guys. They don't know how. It's up to us. Use what you have and pray for and seek to connect with the next generation. I think I'm to close in prayer. Okay. Father, we thank you and praise you that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross to pay the full penalty for our sins. We thank you that you are a God of compassion, that you look on your people and you weep, that you desire to be in relationship with us. Father, we praise you that you desire to use us to accomplish your good will and purpose. I pray, Lord, that we would all be sensitive and tender to the leadings and promptings of your Spirit within our lives. Help us, Lord, to use what you've placed in our hands to connect with this next generation. To establish those relationships, to love on people, to show them the good shepherd. And I thank you for that. I thank you for how you have used this church through many years now. Faithful, faithful people. I pray that you would enable them to continue for generations to come, at least until your coming, obviously. And I just thank you for that. And I pray that you just bless all as we head out. And it's in your name we do pray and give thanks. Amen. You are dismissed.